Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. And welcome to another 30 minutes of lovely music and profound patter. In this particular programme, I'd like to try something that we've never done before, if you're game for it. In fact, two new things: Bible reading and classical music. It's usually me rabbiting away, and it's usually popular songs. But for once, let's try the Bible with classical music. We could call it Gospel According to Classical Music, or just Classical Gospel for short. Regular listeners get stretched quite often, so please bear with me and just give this a run, and you might discover a real gem in broadcasting. So, let's get started. Where shall we begin? Right at the beginning, at creation. Where else? In the beginning, when God created the universe, the earth was formless and desolate. The raging ocean that covered everything was engulfed in total darkness, and the power of God was moving over the water. Then God commanded, "Let there be light," and light appeared. God was pleased with what he saw. He separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day and the darkness night, and that was the first day. Then God commanded, "Let there be a dome to divide the water and to keep it in two separate places." God made a dome, and it separated the water under it from the water above it, and he named the dome sky. That was the second day. Then God commanded, "Let the water below the sky come together in one place so that the land will appear." And it was done. He named the land earth. And the water which had come together he named sea. And God was pleased with what he saw. Then he commanded, "Let the earth produce all kinds of plants." So the earth produced all kinds of plants, and God was pleased with what he saw. That was the third day. Then God commanded, "Let lights appear in the sky to separate day from night." So God made the two larger lights, the sun to rule over the day and the moon to rule over the night. He also made the stars. And God was pleased with what he saw. And that was the fourth day. All kinds of creatures that live in the water and all kinds of birds were created on the fifth day. All kinds of animal life was created on the sixth day. And God created human beings, making them to be like himself. He created them male and female, and blessed them, and said, "Have many children, so that your descendants will live all over the earth and bring it under their control. I'm putting you in charge of the fish, the birds, and all the wild animals." And God looked at everything he had made, and he was very pleased. And so the whole universe was completed. By the seventh day, God finished what he'd been doing and stopped working. He blessed the seventh day and set it apart as a special day, because by that day he had completed his creation and stopped working. That is how the universe was created. After the death of the Lord's servant Moses, the Lord spoke to Moses' helper Joshua, son of Nun. He said, "My servant Moses is dead. Get ready now, you and all the people of Israel, and cross the river Jordan into the land I am giving them. As I told Moses, I've given you and all my people the entire land that you'll be marching over. Joshua, no one will be able to defeat you as long as you live. I will be with you, as I was with Moses. I will always be with you. I will never abandon you. Be determined and confident, for you will be the leader of these people as they occupy this land, which I promised their ancestors. Just be determined, be confident, and make sure that you obey the whole law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not neglect any part of it, and you will succeed wherever you go. Remember, I have commanded you to be determined and confident. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go." God says, "But you, Israel, my servant, you are the people I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. I brought you from the ends of the earth. I called you from its furthest corners and said to you, 'You are my servant.' I did not reject you, but chose you. Do not be afraid. I am with you. I am your God. Let nothing terrify you. I will make you strong and help you. I will protect you and save you. Those who are angry with you will know the shame of defeat. Those who fight against you will die and will disappear from the earth. I am the Lord your God. I strengthen you, and I say, 'Do not be afraid. I will help you.'" Israel, the Lord who created you says, "Do not be afraid. I will save you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through deep waters, I will be with you. Your troubles will not overwhelm you. When you pass through fire, you will not be burnt. The hard trials that come will not harm you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy God of Israel, who saves you. I will give up whole nations to save your life, because you are precious to me, because I love you and give you honor. Do not be afraid. I am with you." I look to the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help will come from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let you fall. Your protector is always awake. The protector of Israel never dozes or sleeps. The Lord will guard you. He is by your side to protect you. The sun will not hurt you during the day, nor the moon during the night. The Lord will protect you from all danger. He will keep you safe. He will protect you as you come and go, now and forever. Where do all the fights and quarrels among you come from? They come from your desires for pleasure, which are constantly fighting within you. You want things, but you cannot have them, so you're ready to kill. You strongly desire things, but you cannot get them, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have what you want because you do not ask God for it. And when you ask, you do not receive it because your motives are bad. You ask for things to use for your own pleasures, unfaithful people. Don't you know that to be the world's friend means to be God's enemy? Whoever wants to be the world's friend makes himself God's enemy. Don't think that there's no truth in the scripture that says the spirit that God places in us is filled with fierce desires. But the grace that God gives is even stronger. As the scripture says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So then submit to God, resist the devil, and he will run away from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you hypocrites. Be sorrowful, cry and weep. Change your laughter into crying, your joy into gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath he went as usual to the synagogue. He stood up to read the scriptures and was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found a place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has chosen me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, and announce that time has come when the Lord will save his people." Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. All the people in the synagogue had their eyes fixed on him, as he said to them, "This passage of scripture has come true today, as you heard it being read." People said, "Isn't he the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "A prophet is never welcome in his hometown." They were filled with anger. They rose up and dragged Jesus out of the town and took him to the top of the hill on which their town was built. They meant to throw him over the cliff, but he walked through the middle of the crowd and went his way. They came to the place of the skull, Golgotha, and they crucified Jesus, dividing his clothes among them by throwing dice. They put up a notice, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews," and crucified two bandits with him. People passing by shook their heads and hurled insults. The chief priests and teachers of the law and elders jeered at him. Even the bandits who'd been crucified with him insulted him in the same way. At noon, the whole country was covered with darkness, which lasted for 3 hours. Jesus shouted, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why did you abandon me?" Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. Then the curtain hanging in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split apart, the graves broke open. Many of God's people who had died were raised to life. Many people saw them. were many women there, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee and who had helped him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the wife of Zebedee. When it was evening, a rich man from Arimathea arrived. His name was Joseph. He also was a disciple of Jesus. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a new linen sheet, and placed it in his own tomb. Then he rolled a large stone across the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there facing the tomb. Soldiers made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone, and a guard was left on watch. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the entrance. She went running to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Then Peter and the other disciple went to the tomb. The two of them were running, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and saw the linen wrappings, but he did not go in. Behind him came Simon Peter, and he went straight into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth which had been round Jesus' head. It was not lying with the linen wrappings, but was rolled up by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw, and he believed. They still did not understand the scriptures which said that he must rise from death. Then the disciples went back home. Mary stood crying outside the tomb. While she was still crying, she bent over and looked into the tomb and saw two angels there, dressed in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head, the other at the feet. "Woman, why are you crying?" they asked her. She answered, "They have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have taken him." Then she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know that it was Jesus. "Woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who is it you are looking for?" She thought he was the gardener, so she said to him, "If you took him away, sir, tell me where you've put him, and I'll go and get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. "Do not hold on to me," Jesus told her, "because I've not yet gone back up to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them I'm returning to him who is my Father and their Father, my God and their God." So Mary Magdalene went and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and related to them what he had told her. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. You can do nothing without me. Whoever does not remain in me is thrown out like a branch and dries up. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire where they are burnt. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, then you will ask for anything you wish, and you will have it. I love you, just as the Father loves me. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love." I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My commandment is this: love one another just as I love you. The greatest love a person can have for his friends is to give his life for them. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because a servant does not know what his master is doing. Instead, I call you friends, because I have told you everything I've heard from my Father. You did not choose me, I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear much fruit, the kind of fruit that endures. And so the Father will give you whatever you ask of him in my name. This then is what I command you: love one another. Surely you know that many runners take part in a race, but only one of them wins the prize. Run then in such a way as to win the prize. Every athlete in training submits to strict discipline in order to be crowned with a wreath that will not last. But we do it for one that will last forever. That's why I run straight for the finishing line. That's why I'm like a boxer who does not waste his punches. I harden my body with blows and bring it under complete control to keep myself from being disqualified after having called others to the contest. Dear friends, we want you to know the truth about those who have died, so that you will not be sad, as are those who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will take back with Jesus those who have died believing in him. What we are teaching you now is the Lord's teaching. We who are alive on the day the Lord comes will not go ahead of those who have died. There will be the shout of command, the archangel's voice, and the sound of God's trumpet. And the Lord himself will come down from heaven. Those who have died believing in Christ will rise to life first. Then we who are living at that time will be gathered up along with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So then we will always be with the Lord. So then encourage one another with these words. The day of the Lord will come as a thief comes at night. When people say everything is quiet and safe, suddenly destruction will hit them. It will come as suddenly as the pains that come upon a woman in labor, and people will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in the darkness, and the day should not take you by surprise like a thief. All of you are people who belong to the light, who belong to the day. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away. His servant shall worship him, they shall see his face, and night shall be no more. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they shall reign with him forever and ever.